This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, folks, we can have you take your seats, please. Let the last stragglers come in. All right, everybody. So this afternoon, I hope you had a good lunch. This afternoon's session, we are now having a closed session without ICANN, where the registries and the registrars are going to have a bit of a chat. So what I want to do, rather than force topics upon you, is to let's ask the floor, what topics do registries and registrars want to discuss? I want to try and get a quick list together. We'll have a quick prioritisation session. Should take about 3 minutes. We'll get them up there, and then it's gloves off. Let's get into it. It's got to be interactive, guys. I need these topics to come from you. Jeff Newman, I'm going to look at you as the antagonist in the room, the protagonist, antagonist and protagonist. Give me a topic that we can discuss, please.
Well, I think Mike Pelaez raised an interesting earlier question of, you know, the future of the registry-registrar model and whether we think what the evolution is that and whether it's necessary going forward. One.
So the future of registrars. Paul, you are scribing for me. Jim Prendergast.
I'll put on there the ICANN budget. I know at least during some of the registry calls there is a question of justifying the existing fees that are paid to ICANN and the fact that ICANN tends to spend 100% of its budget every year. So as the fees grow, so does the budget, and there shouldn't really be that type of correlation. So jokingly but seriously, you know, maybe a zero budgeting exercise 1 year for ICANN to start with nothing and figure out what you actually need for the organization and go from there.
I can't budget. Brett.
Michele, it's a shame he's not here. I love his social media feed because he'll often say, no, stupid registrar, we're not going to do that. And I always write him back and say, Michele, what was it? Was it us? You know, tell us. He says, no, it wasn't you. But I know that there are pain points at registrars that registries cause. I would love to hear sort of a worst practices list. You know, what are your complaints? What can we do better? I know that sometimes we've done things in a registry that have caused people to have to make changes. You know, obviously we try to have those moments be few and far between. But I would love to hear from registrars what worst practices, you know, and how can we make it better?
A what not to do list. Let's get that. You got one here? Oh, you've got a worst practice. We're going to get into that already. Okay, we'll take that for a second.
Anthony Beltran, 101domain.com. First time speaker. Hope everyone's thirsty tonight. You know, as a registrar that does a lot of pre-registrations and prepayments on new GTLDs before they launch, dealing with pricing rollouts, not so much what prices are, but registries not being prepared with their price lists, with their premium names, with the reserve names. When we collect a payment for an order and we get a change in pricing, have to go back to the client and tell them that after it was confirmed to us, you know, this is our pricing, but later on, oh, wait, we decided to change it because, you know, demand is different or market changes. Or, you know, there's a case with one TLD right now where they're in Sunrise and they are going to change their registration price while Sunrise is going on when we've collected money for orders and submitted applications for Sunrise. You know, the amount of friction that creates with customers is, you know, it's considerable.
So is that a lack of understanding from a registry's point of view as to the impact to the consumer, to your client as a registrar?
It's you know, there's a lot of prep that goes into launching a TLD, setting up rules, requirements. So, you know, a registrar wants to sell as soon as possible. If pricing's not available, you know, until the last minute or it changes at some point, just any sort of communication with the customer on those changes is, you know, a friction point. You know, with customers, they lose confidence, you know, that things are changing, you know, partway through.
So what's the rule here? Is the rule here, registry, if I've sold something to a client, suck it up? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It's not so much that. Just once you decide on a pricing model, you know, stay with it, you know, and don't change things on the customer.
Okay, so that's a positive, right? So so I don't think it's don't change it, but it's change it in an appropriate way. Right, so try and be as accurate as you can be in your initial pricing, and then when you do have changes to your pricing, make sure that you are articulating that in an appropriate way to make sure that there are no applications pending, so on and so forth. Am I getting close?
Yeah.
Okay, good. George Menardos. Good. Pricing changes. Better get you to speak into this, mate, given that we've got people playing it.
I just want to be clear on where the pain point is on the pricing change for the registrar from the registry. Is that changing pricing with an already understood grouping of pricing, or is it changing any pricing from a list?
Sorry, I just have a point of order. Are we just diving right into topics, or are we trying to collect the press?
Let's... I got a run on here, right? So let's stay with the run, okay? So it's Adrian's rules, and we'll do what I damn well please. So we're going to stay with the run. If you want to answer it, please come up to the mic, because I'm not going to run around the room.
Jennifer Stanford, web.com. I think, George, to your point, how do you define pricing changes? Pricing changes are defined if requires me to go back to the customer and communicate a different price of what